Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe, what have you made of the new look Grizzlies?
It's still a little early to fully have a concept of what they could be or what they will be. I will say this. I really like Jonas Valanciunas. I compared him earlier in the week to whenever you break up with a girl and the new girl is completely different from the old girl. That's what Valanciunas is compared to Marc Gasol. They just play very different styles of games. Valanciunas is extremely physical, even on his screen setting. He has a physicality to him that Grizzlies fans aren't really used to out of that center position. Marc, that wasn't really his game. So it's fun to see him on his rim runs. It's fun to see the physicality he brings. And then obviously he's not even necessarily in shape. His first game with the Grizzlies was also his first game in about 6 weeks coming back from a thumb issue or an injury with his hand. So I like Valanciunas a lot. I think that he makes up for some of the weaknesses that Jaren has, especially with rebounding at this stage. I understand people's concerns maybe long-term about fit with Jaren's window, but at the same time, you need players, and I think you can do a heck of a lot worse at the center position than Jonas Valanciunas. So I really like DeLon Wright. I think he can be a player, especially as a six-man type, a combo guard off the bench. I really enjoy watching him play, too. He hasn't really hit his stride with the Grizzlies yet, but I think that'll come. I wasn't as down on the trade as others were. I actually thought they did a pretty good job getting value for a 34-year-old center who, for 2 months of the year, folks conveniently forget, was not very good at basketball, whether you want to chalk it up because of injury or whatever. Whatever the reason, from late November until the trade rumors broke, he was not particularly good. And because of that, I think you kind of saw the return that was fair for Marc.
What do you make of Avery Bradley? Because obviously he has quite the home debut, or I guess be the second home game, when he just went absolutely bananas. At times he showed the ability to make shots against Chicago, but not quite at the rate that we were seeing the night before. But what have you made of him thus far?
Had the amazing night against San Antonio. I mean, that was just crazy. And then he almost single-handedly kept the team in the game. Other players were struggling, and Avery was red hot. Memphis is a place where there's been reclamation projects. People can, you know, Zach Randolph was a reclamation project. Tony Allen, to an extent, was a reclamation project. People wanted Mike Conley traded for Ramon Sessions, and I forget who the other player was off the top of my head, but people wanted Mike Conley gone. You know, Marc Gasol was a second-round pick that was viewed as filler, kind of, at the time. No one really knew what Marc was going to be. So I had a place where there's a very much an island of misfit toys vibe, and it's worked for the Grizzlies. I don't mean that necessarily as an insult. I think Bradley could be that guy. It's not that long ago that he was a pretty darn good basketball player in terms of both ends of the floor, both as a scorer and especially as a defender. Maybe he's motivated. Maybe he's excited about his role that he'll likely have that'll be a little bit more intense as a scorer with the Grizzlies than it would have been with the Clippers and the various players they had. Although, of course, Tobias Harris getting traded changed their team a good bit, too. It's going to be worth watching. I think he's one of the interesting storylines moving forward. I don't know he's necessarily worth the $12 million it'll cost to keep him. But at the same time, again, similar to Valanciunas, although I think Valanciunas is better than Bradley, you need guys that can play the game. And if you're going to have to convey the pick this year or try to convey it again next year, whatever the situation might be, you might as well have some guys that can fit, at least in theory, what Jaren is good at. And having a 3-and-D wing like Bradley, you can do worse than having him.
Joe Mullinax, the site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues, joins the program. He is also the host of the Grizzly Bear Blues Live podcast. It's on Blog Talk Radio. Also, you can hear archives, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts can be found. When you look at the remaining schedule, you look at the teams that are around them. If you had to handicap today where you think the Grizzlies would finish in the standings, where do you think it'd be?
I think they're going to finish around ninth. that's my prediction, and maybe that's overly optimistic. It's certainly possible that I might have some Beale Street blue shaded glasses on. But I think they can finish ninth. I think that's realistic. I think that they can find a way to beat teams, especially with Mike Conley. It's easy to forget that they didn't have Mike these last couple of games. So without Mike Conley, of course, they're going to struggle when Jaren Jackson Jr. is your best player at the age of 19. With Mike Conley back in the fold, you look at a squad that is actively trying to win, while there's going to be other teams that are going to be actively trying to lose or at least putting themselves in positions to not win games. All that adds up, and I think Memphis is going to have the opportunity. You probably have to win 12 or 13 games to get done. I think they can, as long as they take care of business against the teams that theoretically aren't trying to be good. Obviously, the Bulls' loss certainly hurts that process, and now they have to pick off somebody that maybe they shouldn't be picking off. But you hope that you catch somebody slipping or sleeping, somebody overlooking you, looking ahead to maybe a Saturday night matchup on a Thursday or Wednesday game or something like that. You know, there's obviously things that can happen and impact other squads. It's not all within a vacuum, so to speak. So I'm interested to see how it plays out in terms of how they play against the teams that are similar to them trying to win. Because as the season grinds along, these teams that are trying to lose, it's only going to get worse.
Say we get 10 games into the remaining, I believe they have 23 remaining. Say we get 10 games in and they've not made up any ground on any of the teams that are currently ahead of them in the standings. At that point, do you still go all out and try to win as many as you can, or do you see, hey, maybe we can kind of catch Atlanta here and we start playing guys that probably wouldn't help them win games?
I'm sure there's a line, and I think that if you do reach that point and you think about shutting down Mike Conley for some ailment or something along those lines, you also probably have to start, you know, whether you convey the pick or not. If Mike Conley can't help you convey this pick, and the pieces that you traded for can't help you convey this pick, then you probably need to move on from Mike Conley. And obviously folks have already talked about the need to move on to the front office, and I agree with that as well. This organization is ripe for an explosion in terms of just moving on with a variety of different folks and different pieces. I think it's time on a variety of levels, but in terms of Conley's future, he really needs to show that he can help them compete. Because the Grizzlies have made it very clear that they are interested in competing. So heads will roll, whether it's Conley's in terms of moving on from the Grizzlies. It may happen anyway. J.B. Bickerstaff, I don't think he's safe if he can't get a team that, again, according to the front office, is trying to win. If they can't win, especially against teams like the Bulls that are actively trying to not win, that's a pretty big problem. And then, you know, Wallace himself. I don't understand why he would be seen or potentially have the opportunity to have access to being a guy with a job when the team overall that he built, that he continues to say that they're trying to compete. If they're not able to compete, then he's the one that set them up for that opportunity. So there has to be accountability at some point. I'm not sure it'll start now, unfortunately. But you would hope that at some stage someone will be held accountable. And that could certainly happen this offseason and maybe even sooner than that.
If you were Robert Parra, what would you do?
I would blow it up. I would go nuclear. I would go nuclear option. I think it's time to start again. I think you obviously are trying to look at moving forward without Mark, of course, and now Mike, probably also in a similar situation. You're trying to get these guys to a point where Jaren Jackson is the focus. And if Jaren Jackson is going to be the focus, then you really have to try to build around not just him, but other young pieces in addition to him. And you can't acquire that without conveying that pick in theory, and you also can't acquire that when you have guys like Mike on your roster that are taking up minutes for a theoretical, again, because they don't exist yet, younger players. So they're going to have to make a decision in terms of what direction they're going to go. I think they're closer to doing that now than they've ever been before, but at the same time, it's a process that has to be jump-started by somebody. And it has to be Robert Parra because there's nobody else that's capable of doing that. He is the owner. You got to cut your losses at some point. Hopefully he sees that now is the time.
What is, if we get to the NBA, the night, the ping pong balls have settled. They've announced the order of the lottery. What is doomsday for the Grizzlies?
I think the doomsday is ace, to be honest with you. I think that that's not in terms of them. That's where they start the lottery. I've heard Chris Harrington talk about, you know, ace would actually kind of be a nice place to start because the odds say that you likely still will convey the pick and send it to Boston. But at the same time, you still have a shot at winning the quote-unquote lottery. So I see that argument, but if everything settles, you know, say they're sixth and they drop back to eighth and you're one away from sending the pick, but now you're sitting there and you're looking at DeAndre Hunter, who I like, but it's hard to get all steamed up for DeAndre Hunter and think that he's going to, you know, make you that much better of an organization. It's hard to get excited for those guys later on in the lottery. If there was ever a draft to go all in for Zion, you know, you look at New York, you look at Cleveland, you look at the Suns, you know, some of the actions that they're doing on that front, they make sense. If you're not in that pursuit, then you might as well try to move on. The Grizzlies are in a unique spot. I wrote about this today for the blog. Jaren and the Grizzlies are trying to be as good as possible so they don't have a first-round pick. You don't see that very often. You don't hear that very often. But that's where they are, and that's how, in theory, weak the latter half of the lottery is in this draft. And that's also the spot that the Grizzlies have put themselves in because of the sins that they committed with prior trades and draft picks themselves.
Have you been watching enough of college basketball to formulate an opinion of where you think this draft, you know, in terms of is it a four-player draft? Is it a three-player draft? Obviously, we know there's always going to be fines late in a draft, but in terms of what you think are worth you know, taking immediately, do you have any type of opinion yet?
To me, I think it's a three-player draft, and I haven't done my full research yet, so I will preface it with that. I'm sure somebody listening will say, you forgot so-and-so, and yeah, maybe Cam Reddish could be good. I've watched him play a few times. I'm not sold on him. It's Zion Williamson with a bullet, first and foremost. I think he's the consensus number one, and any GM who takes somebody else other than him, if they get the number one pick, is a complete and total fool. I don't see how you don't take that kid number one. From there, if you like Ja Morant, the point guard, if you like Barrett, the teammate of Williamson at Duke, at two, I think you can make an argument between those two guys or maybe roster fit if that's the way you want to build your team. The third pick would be whoever number two doesn't take among that duo. From there, I think there's a drop-off, and that would be the worst case for me. If the Grizzlies somehow got into the top three, then I wouldn't be mad because I think all three of the names I just listed are players that are going to be pretty darn good for several years. But if you fall outside of that, it becomes more of a crapshoot. Again, maybe you like Cam Reddish. I think Jarrett Culver's his name out of Texas Tech, folks like him. But like I said, if you're an ace and you're picking DeAndre Hunter, I like DeAndre Hunter, but you can make an argument that's a reach at eight. You could also make that argument at any of these players. So it's one of those things that it's really a bigger gamble once you get outside of the top three. It's not nearly as deep as last year's draft was, where, you know, Trae Young at five, people were excited about. It's not that kind of party, at least not for me just yet.
Talking with Joe Mullinax of Grizzly Bear Blues. He's also the host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, available on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's paint this scenario. The Grizzlies are they finish ninth in the draft lottery. They've conveyed the pick to Boston. What's next? Because it seems like that I feel like one of the big problems that so often has plagued the Grizzlies is it has been a lot of trying to put out fires rather than trying to come up with a long-term plan. And I yet to see. I mean, obviously, if you get rid of this obligation, you can have a more of a control on your future. But what comes next if they do and do convey this pick?
If they convey the pick, it's a fire sale. I would trade everybody not named Jaren or Kyle, or if you're a fan of Javon Carter, if you like Ivan Rapp, Dylan Brooks, you think those guys have value moving forward, you can hold on to the young assets. But if Jonas Valanciunas opts in, I think you explore trades for Jonas Valanciunas. If you get, you know, C.J. Miles, obviously, if you're able to trade him, you do it. That could be challenging. There's nobody that would be safe aside from Jaren. And Kyle I like a lot, but even Kyle, you know, you have to start building around Jaren, and you have to take advantage of the fact that you've conveyed the pick and now you have no more obligations. If you're terrible, you own the pick. If you are really bad in 2019, 2020, and you let Jaren finally just play and grow and make mistakes and take the losses that come with it early on in that process, and you start adding talent around him over the years, Now you've got a team that between restricted free agency, because that's where the Grizzlies are going to have to be aggressive, between the movements of Jaren and finding skill sets that align with his, 3 or 4 years down the road, you can be a competitive team again. That's what has to happen. And if Mike Conley's on the roster, if Jonas Valanciunas is on the roster, you're almost too good to reach that level, if that makes sense. Now, we keep saying that, and you see, you know, the results. Again, Conley hasn't played the past couple of games. You know, it may be a moot point regardless. But I think that, and all of this is prefaced with a front office change. I think that needs to come regardless of if they convey or not. You need that vision. You need that culture to be established. Right now, they don't have any of that. And I've talked about that at length, as others have. There is no culture. There is nobody kind of setting that up. And in the absence of that, you hope that Jaren, even in his youth, can kind of bring that youthful energy and exuberance that can fill that void where it exists right now, because there is no direction. There has to be a clear direction made. I think that trading Mark gave them the opportunity to do that. It appears that they've chosen not to do that at this time. I think that now the next step is, if the pick does convey, that's the next logical point where you can say, okay, we're paid off, the debts are paid, we're going to move on in the front office, we're going to move on to Mike Conley and Grizzlies basketball. Grizzlies fans, here's my 2-year, 3-year, whatever it is plan. Here's how we're going to build this thing back up around Jaren Jackson Jr. And I think Memphis fans are smart enough that if you give them an outline that makes sense, they'll accept it. They'll say, damn, I'm going to have to watch a lot of bad basketball, but at least there's a plan. Right now there's no plan, and when there's no plan, that leads to frustration and even a large concern that we've talked about before, apathy. I think people are more interested now than they have been the last few months because of the new faces, the different energy around the team. But that is a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. That's not something that's sustainable unless they make the changes necessary moving forward to really kind of get this thing in the right direction again.
If you had to set an over-under on the next time that the Memphis Grizzlies are 7 games above 500, how long would it be?
That's putting me on the spot. Man, that's a tough question. An over-under on the next time they're 7 games over 500. I would, if I'm assuming they convey the pick this year, which I am, as we talked about earlier, I think I'd put them at, I think I don't have them doing it again until probably 2022, 2023.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 2.5 would be where I'd set it.
I think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year rebuild, and I think that's the smart way to do it in a market like Memphis. And again, you have to respect the intelligence of your fan base. They understand that, you know, they had to overpay to get Chandler Parsons. Well, let's be honest. They're not bringing in Kevin Durant. They're not the Knicks. They're not the Lakers that can swing and miss on a draft pick and then make up for it in free agency. That's not how this is going to work for the Grizzlies. It's going to be a slow burn. And I think the Grizzlies fans are smart enough to do that, but you can't disrespect their intelligence by just randomly, aimlessly acting. There has to be purpose to what you're doing. I think that, and I'm hopeful that, that is coming beyond this year. But the immediate short-term goal is to convey that pick so that some semblance of direction can be established, whether Chris Wallace is the general manager, J.B. Bickerstaff is the head coach or not.
He is Joe Mullinex of Grizzly Bear Blues. Joe, enjoy your weekend. We appreciate the time.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.